A lot of belly aching when the 12-team playoff was announced. The critics, oh, it's going to water down the regular season. The games aren't going to mean as much. You look at the landscape the next couple weeks. You've got 20 or more teams playing for seeding, playing for spots, playing for something. There's more meaningful games in college football, but it all comes down to those final 12 teams. Greg, take it away. We know the new methodology.
Yes, last week we presented some empirical data. This week we have more data points to expand on that data as the season evolves. So today we're going to get a little less Kirk Herbstreit and a little more Steve Kornacki. Number one, Oregon, still 11-0, far and away number one. Even when you account for the fact that they played one more game than everybody else, they still have the highest weighted games above 500 per game played. Oregon's 11 versus most everybody else's 10. Number two, and the rest of this top third, razor thin. Number two is Alabama. Nothing from the Mercer one. However, Georgia beating Tennessee is a boost for Alabama, and Alabama now collects those Tennessee wins as third-degree wins. The South Carolina-Missouri game, whoever won that game, was going to be a benefit for Alabama, and they get to double up on the loser of that game's wins. Alabama beat South Carolina, beat Missouri. And Alabama beat Missouri. They double up on those Mizzou wins. Number three is Texas. Decent win against Arkansas. They get the Tennessee wins because Arkansas beat Tennessee in Fayetteville. The Florida win over LSU also boosts them. And don't forget these non-conference games against mid-major clubs. Colorado State wins again and is a 7-3 team. Number four, last of the top third, Notre Dame, not a lot of help from existing wins. Louisville, Stanford played each other. They both lost to Notre Dame, so no blood there. Virginia win. It also adds Pitt's 7 wins, not 8, because of the Clemson-Pitt game. You look at that Clemson-Pitt game. How many teams had hand in effect. That cookie jar? Yeah. It affected 4 teams in Greg Pop. Louisville, at the time of the game, was played because Louisville had beaten Pitt, or I'm sorry, they beat Clemson, excuse me.
Yes, it's a notable win.
Georgia beat Clemson. Notre Dame, who just played Virginia, beat Pitt. And SMU's win against Pitt. So to the middle third. Number five is Indiana. They were on a bye, so a slide was a little bit expected from them. However, no extra help from the conference teams that they beat that they hadn't versus games that they hadn't played. So Maryland, Northwestern, Nebraska, Michigan State, all teams that Indiana beat that all lost last week. Right. So no boost for the Hoosiers. Number six is Ohio State. Kind of the same boat as IU. A lot of their opponents lost this week or they didn't play. And remember, this week, number six, Ohio State hosts number five, Indiana. Should be a good game. Number seven, SMU. The plus for them, they get the win against Boston College. The minus for them is the BYU loss to Kansas. Yep. Now they accumulate those Kansas losses. The loss to BYU weighs them down a little bit more. Pitt not closing the deal versus Clemson. They would have also added those Clemson wins if Pitt had closed the deal against the Tigers. Number eight is Penn State. Empty calorie win against Purdue. USC and Illinois win boost them this past week. Still sitting on that lone loss to Ohio State. Now we go to the bottom third. Number nine is Georgia. Tennessee win cuts them way ahead in line. It also recoups the wins against Alabama that they didn't get in their own matchup with the Tide. So Georgia beats Alabama, Georgia beats Tennessee, beats Alabama. Clemson over Pitt, a nice bonus for them as well. The Texas win helps them out. Now they double up on those Florida wins. Auburn, Kentucky, they get easy wins against lesser teams. It helps them out a little bit. Number 10, BYU. Now, took the loss against Kansas. They succumbed to the same fate as Miami did. The close game that didn't quite go their way. They are traveling to the desert, taking out Arizona State in the Greg Pomp game of the week. Why this game? Well, it has real world and Greg Pomp implications. First, for Greg Pomp, a loss likely knocks BYU out of the top 12 of Greg Pomp, vaults Arizona State up. A win against 8-2 ASU also affirms their footing in this top 12. Two, for the real-world implications, the game most likely will determine the second spot in the Big 12 title game opposite of Colorado. So it's the difference between a chance at a first round bye and the loser likely eliminated from the college football playoff altogether. It's playoff bye, top four spots, or nothing. The stakes of this game.
Huge.
Number 11 is Boise State, holding steady with their win at San Jose State. No help from Washington State, who lost on the road at New Mexico. And rounding out the top 12 is Miami. Off a bye, bad news for them. USF and Florida are the only teams that Miami has beaten that won last week. So that's the only boost that the Hurricanes are getting.
So there's a lot to digest with this, and this is a huge weekend in college football, and I think if you want to have an idea of how the sport has changed, the opportunity for the little guy, the three biggest games in the country involve Indiana, Army, BYU, and Arizona State this weekend. Think about that. Think about what that means, but Greg has laid this out in a way where we can kind of go from it. John, Indiana, Ohio State, is this an elimination game this week?
I think it is for Ohio State. I don't necessarily think it is for Indiana.
Why I ask, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, if Indiana loses a game, they do not have any good wins. They're going to want to cram as many of these two-loss SEC teams in as they can, and they have created a puzzle because, John, I respect head-to-head. I think you do, too. Yeah. Here's the problem. Ole Miss beat Georgia. Alabama beat Georgia. So Georgia's got to be behind both of them, right? Well, but Georgia beat Texas. And Georgia beat Tennessee, but Tennessee beat Alabama. You see how this turns into a mess.
Oh, it's a huge mess.
So if Indiana loses, will they try to cram four and even five SEC teams and leave the Hoosiers out?
Well, a lot of this, Jim. I'm making a big circle with my hand.
So I guess the question of the teams that were left out, as we try and digest all of this, and I have a couple of questions because this is all data-based.
Fire at me, man. I got the whole 134 ahead of me.
Okay. Where do you have Clemson? And where is Colorado?
All right. Clemson is just outside of the periphery. They are 13th.
Okay.
Interesting. And they're very much alive. They need help to get to the ACC title game.
Right.
But if they get the ACC championship, auto spot.
Yeah. Is there only ability to get in by getting the auto bid?
In reality, yes.
In reality.
Clemson's got that South Carolina game to end the season.
Right.
That's a big boost for them.
It could be a big boost.
It helps resume because it's an SEC opponent, but it doesn't help their chances of getting to the ACC title. They're done with conference play.
Yeah.
You asked about Colorado?
Yeah.
Great question. They are 15th, also in the periphery. They are 8-2. Remember, that Nebraska loss is weighing them down. Cornhuskers have lost four straight. They're now 5-5.
All right, so what, another follow-up before I get to my actual second question. Two SEC teams with two losses, Ole Miss and Texas A&M.
Still alive.
Ole Miss is sandwiched in between Clemson and Colorado. They are 14th. Texas A&M kind of a little bit below the periphery. They are at 18th.
Think about it. Texas A&M still has the Texas game coming up. That rivalry renewed, and it could knock Texas all the way out of the playoff potentially.
Yeah. And now, for my other question, and I don't know if you can do this or if you're prepared to do this.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
Can I guess over under?
Sure.
Is Michigan 88th?
Oh, they're far better than that.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say.
Okay, here's a hint on Michigan. Remember the few of their losses.
Oh, yeah.
Undefeated Indiana.
Okay.
Undefeated
Oregon.
Are they top
50?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say 42.
Higher.
What?
Michigan's higher than that?
Yes.
32.
Exactly, Jim. Good job.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Didn't
they
see that
are a
coming.
Spot higher than Illinois, by the way.
Okay.
Hang the banner.
Oh,
hell
wow.
of a season.
Yeah. Stop it. You just set me up for that. How does this compare to the what your eyes are telling you? When you look at this, and Indiana is 5, Ohio State is 6. If you were ranking them outside of the data, would they be the same? And I guess that question then goes for like BYU. Would they still be a top 12 team if it wasn't for if it was just simply the eye test?
I think BYU would be right about where they are. Ohio State would probably be number 2 behind Oregon because, as I said before, when this was simply opinion based, 1 yard, 1 second, 1 timeout, 1 point, 1 whatever. before winning that game at Oregon.
Because seeing Alabama at two really throws off your eyes.
And it's the boost. It's the boost of a lot of their wins, a lot of high profile wins for the Crimson Tide.
So they beat Georgia, which is a huge win, right?
Right.
And who's the other big win that Alabama has?
Or is South it just Carolina, Missouri?
Okay, yeah, and those are more tier two wins to me. But Georgia is a big tier one win for Alabama.
And just a quick note too: you mentioned Indiana; they don't have a lot of marquee wins. I will want to stress this: your resume is more than just your best data point. It's the summation of everything you've done. And Indiana has the summation.
They don't have a loss.
Right.
But that's what makes this week so important. Same thing could be said for Army, who's undefeated when they play Notre Dame. Some major matchups in college football. It'll all get sorted out on the field. Love the playoff. It's 97-1.